I'm back.
Oh, there you are. Okay, so what were your thoughts on the show?
It was kind of a mess. I mean, we could have, we didn't have people when they were supposed to be on, and then it was very uneven. It didn't seem that people were very prepared. I mean, it seems to me that if a person knows that they're going to be on, they should at least do some amount of preparation, you know, a rough preparation, so that they sort of know what they're going to be doing. And hopefully, maybe we should suggest that to the people that are going to be on, that they, you know, that they remind them to do a little preparation in advance.
Anything else you'd like to add?
I would like a question to Pat when she finishes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell me what your question is.
Well, when I was in that position and on those calls, we were given instructions to prepare, I think, a two-minute intro from each person. And then we went around the room and everybody presented. And then the people on the call could actually question each other about what they had said in their intros. Were these people given those instructions, or did it sound as if they had those instructions?
I can answer that question. Mm. They were given those instructions. The host, the facilitator, Jack Devine, was also given those instructions and instructed to be mindful of the time to keep people, you know, on point. For the first hour, that didn't happen.
That
didn't happen. That's part of the problem. That's part of why I wasn't particularly pleased with that show. Well, let's get specifics. The officers, we had a mixture of officers and directors in that first hour. Each one was supposed to have 4 to 5 minutes, you know, to make their presentation, and then 2-minute window for interaction with each other. And then, you know, the next person, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, and then interaction. The first person out the gate was the chair. She spoke uninterrupted for about 10 minutes, which ate up time, clearly. And then there was no interaction. Jack just allowed her to go on and then went on to the next person in that panel, which was the treasurer. And he specifically asked, how much time is he allocated here? And Jack said about 4 or 5 minutes, which was correct, but he didn't adhere to that. So we were off. In terms of people, you know, giving their presentations in the allotted time and having interaction. So it's just report, and then we had a little bit of time in that first hour for listener calls. Okay, and then in the second hour, things got a little better because by that point, I sent Jack an email telling him that he had to be mindful of this and, you know, enforce the time limits here. Now, from a technological standpoint, I was pleased with the sound quality. We were using Zoom for the first time, and I thought, given how Zoom sound quality usually is, you know, some people are loud, some are soft, some you have people breaking up or have a metallic sound, none of that was at play here. Everyone sounded good and on the same level, so that was good. But that first hour... As Pat said, it was a bit of a mess. In the second hour, we also had a mixture of just one officer and the two remaining directors, myself and James Sagatin. And then because Ralph didn't get on in the first hour, he ended up being in our panel. By that point, Jack was keeping track of people and their amount of their presentation better. and there was also interaction after each point. When we got to the calls for that second hour and even for the first hour, they weren't all that compelling. So all in all, I think for the next show, the thing to learn is that we have to impress upon the facilitator that he or she has to be mindful of the time constraints and keep people, you know, in adherence to that, compliance to that. And hopefully we'll have more time for listener calls and we'll have a better batch of callers weighing in. Okay, so that's all I have to say about that. All right, so item three, let's choose two implementers for the second LSB show. I'll volunteer to be one. Who else?
So will I.
Okay, so that's a two.
So, I mean, we'll just resume our similar tasks as we've taken on before.
Correct. Okay.
Okay.
Number four, I volunteer to handle the promotion in terms of the cart and the online announcements. Oh, Pat, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Maybe Carolyn and Janet can weigh in, too. I made a cart for that show. I know you do a lot of listening. Did you hear it at any time?
I didn't, no. But I wasn't listening steadily, you know.
What about you, Pat?
I think I must have, but I don't remember. But I think I would remember if I didn't.
Okay. All right. So I'll take that as a yes.
So it must have been at some point.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Okay. So let's see. Sean will handle promotion. Oh, the mechanics. So as I said, the using Zoom, I thought that went rather well. And given, you know, how things are operating these days, we have no choice but to use, you know, some telephonic means of, you know, folks interacting with one another. Hopefully Catherine can set up her account again, and we could use her Zoom account again, because I thought that connection went very well. It was a good sound quality. Let's see. All right. Number six. Choose someone to contact interim program director. Oh, well, on that point, let me just say that the interim program director was made aware that we're meeting today and invited to participate. Unfortunately, she won't be able to come on the call today. So in terms of our desire to have a discussion about rotating time slots as opposed to fixed time slot.
Yeah.
I guess that's in the absence of that, we can't have that today. So we'll just have to proceed as though we have the last Friday of every month at 10 p.m. till midnight. So that means June 31st we're looking at.
Why? How can we do that? Can we be sure to do that? Is she aware that?
July. You said June. July.
I'm sorry. July 31st, yes.
Is she cognizant of that little fact, or is she expecting?
No, she's aware. Because when she responded to me, you know, I CC'd you and Catherine on the invitation regarding our meeting. She only replied to me. But when she was saying that she wasn't going to be on the call, I responded to her and I informed her that we would be having our meeting and that someone would get back in contact with her regarding the June 31st date. So that's in there. And she acknowledged it when she wrote, okay, thank you. So she's cognizant of that.
Okay,
we're looking for the 31st, July 31st. All right. So, all right. Well, I guess since I had that communication with her, I could contact her and let her know, you know, we're going to do the 31st.
Yeah,
from 10 to midnight. Okay. And then item seven, choose someone to convene the next committee meeting. All right. I guess that'll be me.
I guess so.
Okay.
You are hired. That's great.
Well, that goes to your statement earlier. Sean Rhodes is leading a meeting. Hello.
That's right.
But also, it touches upon Janet's point in that we didn't have people who, you know, derailed conversations or
right.
took us off things. So, you know, we can concentrate on business.
Right.
All right. So as we're here, let me just let you all know, in case you didn't, Randy Credico resigned from the LSB.
Really?
Ooh.
Yes. He resigned on July 10th. The next runner-up is John Brinkley. John Brinkley was seated and attended the executive session that the LSB had on July 12th. Ergo, John Brinkley is now on our list of people to contact for this second show, since we're
okay.
going in alphabetical order.
Okay.
So, and I already have his email and phone information, so Janet and I can, you know, divvy up who we're going to contact and
when. Okay, good.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yes. What else to let you all know?
Nobody ever really gets away from WBAI. It's like Michael Cord. No matter how far away I get from it, they pull me back
tell
in.
You.
They keep pulling you back in.
They pull me back in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, he is the newest member. So what he has to say will be up to him because, you know, he could say, you know, what he envisions or what he's done in the past.
Right.
I don't know. That's
right.
up to him. But the point is that he's up in our alphabetical rotation. We have to extend the invitation to him.
Okay.
Pro forma. Yeah.
And if you don't mind my asking, did he resign, did you say? He has a program about how terrible BAI is somewhere. So it would seem to me appropriate that he wasn't a board member.
Well,
he was on the air.
When?
I think yesterday. Was it yesterday?
Really?
Was
on
he? BAI? He was on Arthur Schwartz's program.
Okay.
I got onto the station right before the end because my chorus ended a couple of minutes early, and boy was I astonished to hear that voice.
Yeah.
Well,
were they talking about BAI or
no.
Roger Stone?
No, they were talking about other things. I didn't. I only heard 2 minutes because I was not there. But but I was very surprised. But it's.
Well, on this point, let me just share with you all his resignation letter.
Yeah.
Again, this was July 11th. July 10th. He sent this out early in the morning at 7:33. He wrote, "Dear fellow board members, over the past few months, I have been overwhelmed with personal matters such as my sister's untimely death and the constant personal threats regarding the Roger Stone situation. I want to express my gratitude to Carolyn, the chair, and all of the other board members for being understanding of my situation. The survival of WBAI at this point in time is critical and is the board's obligation to do all that is necessary to fulfill that commitment. Having my own podcast makes it difficult for me to try to raise funds for both my program and WBAI. This constitutes an untenable conflict of interest. It is my moral obligation to step aside and allow a new board member to fulfill my vacancy who can dedicate more time to help this great institution survive. I thank you all for your tolerance of my oftentimes disruptive tenure on the board. This is my notice of resignation. It is final. I hope and pray that the station that has been part of my DNA for 40 years will get through these lean and mean times and continue to serve its profound public duty. Sincerely, Randy Credico." I mean, you know, left on good terms.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a good letter, but sorry to hear about that.
Mm-hmm.
I will miss his voice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, you can hear his podcast.
Yeah, if you want to search it out.
Yeah.
Get your fix of Randy that way.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
I have a question related to, if I may, Sean, to something you said earlier. and that is the promotion. I think it's good if we can keep, you know, a fixed time, but I do think the promotion maybe should be more than just on-air statements. You know, is there any way that we have now? I'm sure we have the ability, but is there a channel set up for email blast to the members about programming or anything else that we could join or take part in or create about this program being available to the members and that they should listen?
I post it to various listservs as well as the public LSB list, letting them know that the program is going to be on and where the archive will be so that they could hear it in case they missed the program live.
Are you talking about the membership?
I'm talking about the membership, yeah. And the public WBI list don't exist as far as I'm concerned. I changed my email address. I tried to get on. I got no answer. So
it
I'm
exists.
Not on
Other people
any
it.
Of those. Well, I don't know where it is. But anyway, I'm just thinking that maybe it's time to get members a little bit more interested in what goes on with their electeds, you know?
Well, if you have lists in mind that you'd like to send it to, please feel free to forward it to the announcement to those lists.
I can certainly do that. I don't have much in the way of lists, but I'm thinking about an official list from the station announcing, you know, unusual events. This certainly is worth noting to the members since they pay for the station and those are the people they elected, you know.
The station has, a newsletter that they send out to the listenership, to the membership. I can ask to be placed in there.
Yeah, sure. Has that gone away? I mean, I haven't heard about it lately, but.
No, it still exists.
Still exists? Okay.
Yeah.
You should definitely do that.
Okay. All right.
Do you know when the next one is scheduled to go?
I don't. As a matter of fact, no, I don't. But I'll check on that and see, you know, if it's coming up soon.
That would be good.
Yeah, before the show, so that people could be made aware of it. But yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
No problem. Regarding newsletter. Okay. Anything else before we adjourn?
No, I think this is fine.
Okay.
Not that I don't enjoy talking to everybody. I certainly do. I miss you. I miss the people. I miss the regular people.
Mm-hmm.
I guess is there any move to moving back into the station? Because I don't think there should be.
No, there's not. There's
good,
nothing.
Because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
When I envision us crammed into that little space, I...
cringe?
I cringe, yeah. Thank you for the word.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
As the engineer who'd be on the other side of people, you know, crouching into that room,
I'm
not quite ready for that yet.
Right.
No, you shouldn't be. Good for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Any glitches that we know of with the people broadcasting outside of the station? Is everybody able to make some sort of connection well? I haven't been following that.
Yeah, by and large. Reggie and Michael have set up operations from their own home. So they have the software so that the producers on their respective ships will contact them, and that signal gets sent, you know, through BAI so that it goes through BAI's antenna at Four Times Square.
Okay.
Max and I are the only ones who come into the station, and those people on our shifts, they contact us either, you know, through various means or on the telephone, and then, you know, we do the show from that way, and they're able to take listener calls because we're at the phones at the station. They can't take listener calls from Michael and Reggie's setup at their respective homes.
You know, when there was a problem with all of this, David Rothenberg had volunteers giving out their phone numbers on the air for members to call. I guess it was to get their listener phone calls to get tickets, yeah. But taking listener phone calls might not be impossible if people were willing to set up a cell phone number for that purpose and allow listeners to call in to their home and to a number that is only dedicated to that purpose. So it's not their personal numbers. Has anyone suggested that, or is that up for discussion at all?
I know nothing about
that. A lot of our MO is listener phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice if listeners could do that.
I know nothing about that.
You haven't heard of anybody doing that, huh?
Nope.
That's
what you're doing.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Opportunity lost.
All right. So, barring any other complications, I think it's safe to say we are adjourned for today. Thank you all.
Bye-bye, everyone.